Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, on Mystery Inc. and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. King Baby Duck here. Before we begin today's show, I would like to teach all of you listeners out there a wonderful word. A word that I am really starting to see other people in the gaming journalism scene lose sight of. And that word is integrity. You see, whenever you review something, whether it's a game, an anime, a movie, an album, you owe it not just to yourself, but your fans and followers to give an honest-to-God opinion about it. If it rocks, you say it's the bee's knees. If it sucks, you say it blows. If it was meh, you just say it was in the middle somewhere. You need to be 100% truthful about it, no matter what sort of relationship you have with a developer, a band, or a distributor. And by doing so, you have retained a solid sense of integrity. And the reason why I'm saying this is that it has recently come to light that a certain video gaming site, let's call them Machinima because that's their name, was being paid off by Microsoft to praise Xbox One and their games. Now, it was soon after when Microsoft said that they are telling Machinima to add disclaimers that will say that the videos in question are paid advertisements, but the fact remains is that they didn't do that in the first place, and that those people who have seen those videos before this fiasco took this site's paid opinions as credible reviews. And in a sense, they've been duped. It's a very bullshit tactic that happens more than people would believe, and it sickens me to see that some of you gamers out there have been betrayed by critics that you've trusted. That's why, like, even though I myself am a video game reviewer, I try to find more than one opinion. I try to find a second, a third, a fourth, and sometimes even a fifth opinion on a certain title or console. And usually, I like to look at, these various sides of the cube. I like to listen to the Angry Joes, the Total Biscuits, the Jim Sterlings, the Arab Gamers, people that I know that are going to be giving their honest-to-God reviews that most of these bigger, more vast gaming sites seem to be forgetting about. And I vow to you listeners that I would never BS an article, a review, a preview, or a year-end list to appease certain parties. That's the King Baby Duck guarantee that I have placed upon both Boston Bastard Brigade and Electric Sisterhood when I first began, and will continue to honor until the very last breath has left these lungs. And if I ever break that code, then I count on you to call me out on it. And if I am ever caught out on it, I will admit to it, and I will promise to do my best to never, ever, ever try something like that again. And with that, let's start the show. Remember, if you like what you hear, please be sure to support these artists by buying their music. And you can find just about all these releases on Amazon.com, CDJapan.co.jp, Bandcamp, iTunes, the official websites, and your local record store. We're going to start things off with a band called Pink Strike, who will be playing at the upcoming Iro Iro event at the end of the month. In fact, we're going to be playing a couple of artists that will be featured at this coming Iro Iro event. Here's one of their most recent tracks. It's called Around the World.
Boku o ite everybody in the place, y'all be starstruck. Ha! I see some beautiful people out there tonight. And Flow, introducing the three ladies, y'all be starstruck. You know what I'm saying? Knees that'll eat you on that style, baby. Check it. Astro Man Tech, なキラキラメッタムカメラフラッシュでぶつけ本番やべえしのどはスプレッシュバブリーまぶしいラグジースペンハブリー確実にいいハグミーグレープライクをリッツが得てたクラックダウンフィートスタンプクラックヘッドお客さん If you wanna get down but don't know how 耳開けて聞きなこれ World We're Now Are you ready for this?
What a ladies
are Are you ready for this?
Heart steals back again
Are you ready for this?
Down so it high
Here we go
Party going on, party going on
Don't
touch my mouth, touch much water
That rock might be good at That rock know we're going
No, no, no
I'm ready to have some fun
Fuck,
I guess best for everyone
Day one
You don't have to die like I said not
That's right
Hey, I'm the party, you want
to know My life to the god is 一番重要なことは一つ Dramatic 刺激的なもの Just 21, but I'm not gonna know すでにね、I'm a star 目指して日々精進いつでも full power
Of desire, fire, Android, bewitch me, body pedal, 全開, 白鳥, on the 湖, face booming, you can tell, soup candle, like dinner for everybody, 高く boost the amp to the giddy, ショット寸前, baby, すごすぎる ride, 入りすぎて, you need a ghetto vibe, パパラチにテレバー, 芝居じゃない, love and direct, but what's the analog, メモグラム, people who are poison, bell, bell, devote, cause we all know how the story goes,
got a lot of class on TV, and you wanna be me, the 89 king,
yo,
I, got a lot of class on TV, and you wanna be me, the 89 king,
Bring it on,
got a lot of plasma TV, and you wanna be me, the 89 king of Queen Bee. Got a lot of plasma TV, and you wanna be me, the 89 king of Queen Bee. Champagne in your hand, just pop the top. It's hot, it's the L-E-S, baby. The original AI, he knows you, Emmy. Ocean baby, Joe's baby, baby, boy, super shiko. I know it's them all, 君の obsession. I think that, yeah, kira kira na killer. 唇からない, most people, no got a big deal when I hit the scene.
Flow. was Starstruck, featuring I, Hinochi Emi, and Run from Heartsdale from my favorite album of theirs, Astromantic. Truly a timeless trip-hop album that will surely inspire future generations of the genre. And joining me right now is one half of the chip-tune duo. I don't know why chiptune is such a tongue-twistery word in many cases.
I don't know. It works for me. I say it a lot, though, so who knows?
That's true. Anyway, one half of Bright Primate, he is currently working on a new project, a video game called Project Rain World, which could be found at Kickstarter. Please welcome our good friend, James Primate.
What's going on, guys?
First of all, congrats on reaching your Kickstarter goal already. Did you think it would be achieved in such a short amount of time?
Thank you. No, not at all. We had no idea. I've been working on Rain World with Joar, who's the programmer, for about 2 years now. And it kind of it's sort of been a passion project for the two of us. And when we decided to do this Kickstarter just to be like, all right, you know, it's time to finish up this game. Let's put it together. Let's see what people think. We'd finally gotten it to a position that we thought that we'd be proud to show it to people. And yeah, the response has been overwhelming. We had no idea. It's been really gratifying and amazing, but also like extremely stressful, because now it's like it stopped being something for the two of us and started becoming something that like everybody and their grandma can like say like, well, I want it on this system, or like, why aren't you doing this feature or that feature? So now it's like everybody has an opinion and we have to kind of like make everybody happy. So that's kind of crazy.
well, I'm curious, how did you first meet Joar?
We're both on a forum that's called TigSource, and TigSource is sort of like it's the independent game source. It's kind of where all of the independent game developers sort of like hang out. It's the whole forum was started by Derek Yu, who's the creator of Spelunky and Spelunky HD, and so even like Minecraft, the first builds of Minecraft were like posted on there by Notch, and like Fez was developed on there and stuff like that. So it's kind of this big gaming community. And I just met him. I saw his early art sketches for Rain World, which was initially called Maze Runner. And I hit him up and I was like, this is so awesome. Like, I've got to be a part of this. And we've kind of been communicating ever since. He lives in Sweden, in Stockholm. And I've never met him. We've been doing this over email and over Skype and stuff like that for years. So it's kind of cool.
You guys haven't had a chance yet to meet in person?
Nope.
Wow.
It's a long-distance relationship.
A very long distance. It's a transatlantic sort of relationship. Yeah,
exactly.
So can you give us a little bit of a premise of Rain World? Like, what is the game about?
Sure. Rain World, it's kind of... I guess the easiest way to explain it is that it's sort of like an artsy survival platformer. Kind of, it's about you take the role of a slug cat on this bizarre alien world, and you kind of just have to survive. Like, there's the ecosystem is broken for some mysterious reason, and you kind of live amongst the ruins of some ancient like alien civilization. And every day or every cycle of time, there are these like tremendous rains that pound the surface and like kill everything that's on the surface. So all the creatures kind of hibernate for most of their lives. But then when the rains clear up, everybody kind of comes out and has to like hunt stuff, and you have to like gather food in that time frame. So you're both like a hunter, you have to like hunt prey, and you're being hunted by bigger prey. So it's kind of this like cauldron of excitement and gore and stuff like that when the rains let up. So that's the basic scenario.
So you talked about the main character of the cat slug. I don't know if this is a question that you can answer or is something that more Joar can answer. Like, what's the inspiration behind such a creature, and how does its nature like affect the way you play the game?
That's a really good question. The name itself actually is kind of a joke. In the game, there's no language, and the characters aren't really called anything. So the actual name Slug Cat was like someone's YouTube post from like years ago that we just thought was so hilarious that we had to keep. We joke that's like the one time that a YouTube comment has ever like positively contributed to anything. But so the reason it's an apt term is that the entire purpose of the game from Jawar's perspective is that he wanted to use a certain sort of like a programming style, a procedural programming style to create like a soft character. Like, I don't know if you look at most pixel art characters, like you could have Fez, you could have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo character, they have like a really rigid structure. It's like a block, kind of. But Jawar had an idea to make like a really soft character. So these characters are kind of spongy, like they can bend around surfaces. They have like their bodies are affected by physics, so like they'll have arms flailing around. It's kind of vaguely like ragdoll physics, but also much more constrained. There's like an actual kind of skeleton that's underneath them and stuff like that, so all of the movements look really natural. So his basis was kind of this jellyish like cat creature. So a slug cat is like a perfect description of it.
Yeah, it's a very adorable creature, and I noticed that on some of the Kickstarter goals, or rather some of the donation ones, you have listed that people can get like plushy versions of him.
Yes, we've got some really cool, like, limited edition handmade slug cat plushies which are coming out, and they seems like they're going to be really nice, too. They're, like, 18 inches tall, and, like, we're doing a thing where you can kind of customize them. You can make them your own color, like, the color that you want with, like, tufts of hair that you want and stuff. So I think it's going to be, I think that those are going to be really cool. I'm ordering a couple of those myself, if you can imagine.
I can understand. Maybe after the interview, you can get me in touch with the person so I can order myself one as well.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So how did you go about creating the score for Rain World? And, like, what made you decide on its style?
I was really taken by Jawar's art style with Rain World. It has a lot of really interesting things that appeal to me. It's like a broken down kind of future that's sort of like gone back to nature. It's like kind of post-apocalyptic. So there's like a jungle element to it, but then there's like an old old architecture element to it, and then like also future like neon substances and like weird modes of transportation and stuff like that. So when I originally saw the artwork for Rain World, I had a vision in my head almost as soon as I saw the artwork of what I thought the music should be and what I thought the, kind of the atmosphere of Rain World should be. So it was a really easy process. I wrote the first 15 tracks to the score within the span of like maybe a month after first looking at the art.
Wow, that's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's over an hour of music already, and we think that there's a lot more to do from there. But yeah, it was kind of an immediate thing, and Jawar really, he likes the style too. Everything just worked out really well. It was very inspiring.
Very cool. Why don't we take a quick little music break, and then we can get back to a couple more questions. Does that sound good, James?
Sounds awesome.
All right, next up we got the Sexpots, who I can kind of describe as Amanda Palmer if she went techno. Here's a song from their album Junk Sick. It's called You Get a Taste.
Oh,
her Holidays in the Sun LP. Currently, she is fronting a band called Flower Flower, and they are due to be releasing their first album soon. And we're back here with the James Primate, a bright primate, and a scorer and composer for the game Project Rain World. So how will Project Rain World stand out from any other video game out there?
That's a really good question, and that's one that I'm kind of happy to talk about. Jawar and myself, we both kind of come from an outsider perspective to the gaming community. Jawar, he's a graphic designer and an illustrator first, and kind of a programmer as a hobbyist second, although he's been doing programming for a lot of time. So he's really good. But his main interest, I don't know, I feel like there is, and this isn't to be deriding modern video games, but there's kind of like there's an established way that a lot of video games are set to do. Like there's plenty of platformers, there's plenty of like first person shooters, and a lot of them all have similarities between them because they're kind of built on like a common theme.
Right. Like you can cut out Super Mario and put like Crash Bandicoot in it and it'd be the same game.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. It's just what happens when you have an industry and everyone's playing each other's games and stuff like that. Jawar's coming from the outside of that. He's played a lot of games, but it's kind of all of his own weird stuff. So this game is really it's really kind of a unique vision, I feel like. There isn't any like imposed narrative in the game. Like the way we kind of used to illustrate that is like, you know, Golden King Lizard steals your slug cat girlfriend and you have to find her sort of thing. It's the entire game, the motivation is like the structure is built into the structure of the world. It's kind of sandbox. Like you can sort of do anything in the game if your skill level is able to tackle it. So you actually have to like learn to play the game really, really well to get to certain areas and to do certain things, which I think is kind of cool. It sort of has elements of like Metroid or something like that. Where
so what do you mean by like skill levels? Like what are some of the skills that you're going to be able to learn in the game?
Well, it's actually physical. Like the game is very difficult, and the AI for the creatures that are hunting you and the prey are really, really challenging. So you actually have to learn like how to avoid them, and each one has its own like unique system. And when they're kind of hunting you with it, with like there's multiple different lizards with multiple different kind of characteristics, there's really a pretty strong learning curve. So it's the sort of game that you die a lot when you start, but then you kind of like start to feel out sort of the logic between how these things happen. So I think it's going to be, it's just going to be a really novel experience for people. I hope, I think so. And then of course there's like a gorgeous art style and like a really interesting, unique vision. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. I'm really excited to show the world kind of this thing that we've been secreting away for years. So.
Awesome. So what can people expect from the full Project Rain World experience?
That's kind of tricky at this point because already we've blown past a lot of our goals as far as Kickstarter is concerned and funding. So now we kind of have the opportunity to sort of go back and kind of not necessarily rethink, because Jawar has a really clear idea of what he wants Rain World to be, but like things that we could do. Things that we could bring better and like ways that we could make the experience more rich. We already have like a really strong alpha that has the complete game engine. Like it's playable. There's like 4-player multiplayer already built into it. There's like all of these things that that kind of work really well already. But there's also other things that it doesn't do. The programming language that it's built in right now is called Lingo, and it doesn't really port to other platforms like Linux or to PS Vita or like any consoles. It doesn't really do that, and it has limited like internet multiplayer capabilities. So we're kind of looking into moving it into like a more modern programming language, so we can get let everybody play Rain World and do lots of like the cool modern game stuff like Steam integration and I don't know achievements and stuff like that. So we want to make it nice.
Yeah, and I can picture you wanting to have this for like Steam machine and have it be playable with the controller that that's coming out with it. And not to mention, like you said, trying to see if you can port it over to consoles. Now that a lot of the companies, that especially like Nintendo and Sony, being now very indie friendly when it comes to the titles that they put on there.
Exactly. And we just kind of want to, like, we've worked hard on this project and it kind of means a lot to us. So we just like for everybody, for as many people as possible, to have to be able to play it. Like, we'd feel bad if it was just like limited to one platform that someone else couldn't get to. I don't know. That kind of means a lot to us for some reason.
All right. So I guess my final question is, even though I know that you guys have reached your Kickstarter goal, why should people continue to contribute to Project Brain World?
Well, I think at this point, the really great reason to do that wouldn't be to fund us, but because you'd be getting the game at a cheaper price, and you'd be able to contribute to the development process. If you buy it after we're finished with it, then we can't use that money to make the game better, if that makes sense. Any money that we're going to get for the Kickstarter is going to go directly into making the game world bigger, making everything more polished, and making the experience like more clean. So not only are you going to be getting the game for cheaper, you will also be like getting a better game as a result. So that's my pitch for the Kickstarter.
Awesome. So James, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders, No Race. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Rain World turns out to be. I've put in $25 to help you guys out. See if you can guys make it just a little bit, you know, get that extra shine to it. So I cannot wait to see how this game turns out in the end.
Thank you very much, Evan. I appreciate you letting me on the show.
Not a problem. I gotta ask quickly, what do you and Lydia have planned next for Bright Priming?
Oh, we've got some cool stuff coming up. We actually have an album coming out on Telefuture Records, which has not only a bunch of original music from us, but also has remixes from a bunch of cool cats in the chiptune scene. So we're really excited about that, too.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Thanks, Evan. You're too kind.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Up next, we got Narc on CL, who will be returning to the stage this March for tonight's day at Tokyo's National Stadium. From their album Kiss, this is Pretty Girl.
Yeah.
Just a Loser from the No Escape compilation album. Anyone who is interested in getting into the punk genre needs to own that release. One of the lost greats of the Canadian punk scene. How does one trademark a word that has been used for many a millennia in books, games, movies, anime, and even music here and there? More importantly, how stupid does a trademarking executive have to be to allow such a word to be bought off? People would be constantly sued over the usage of this term, despite the fact that they've been using said phrase for many, many, many years. I bring this up because of Gaming Studio King, and no, I have no relation to it, trademarking the words Candy and Saga. And because of all this, trouble is now brewing in the legal departments, and they're not even in the realm of copycat titles. These are games that have no relation or similarity between them and Candy Crush Saga, a game that I quit cold turkey almost a year ago because it was eating up so much of my time. The same with The Simpsons Tapped Out, but that's completely unrelated to the topic on hand. Developers of such titles as All Candy Casino Slots and, most notably, The Banner Saga are being given headaches by King's legal departments for absolutely no fair reason. Now, I understand if someone wants to trademark the game a title, and it would have made much more sense if they had trademarked the entire Candy Crush Saga name. But to trademark each word singularly and not together will bring nothing but incredibly large migraines for both parties, as well as threatened development of future titles and sequels for games with the words Candy and Saga in it. And in the end, the only real winners will be the lawyers, who will be paid tens of thousands of dollars to fight these stupid-ass claims in the courtroom. The losers, though, will be the ones who worked hard on these creations in the first place. Even King themselves will be hurt by all this, not just image-wise, but also in the trust department. Because no one will want to work with a company that keeps slapping lawsuit after lawsuit onto smaller developers trying their best to make a wonderful title they hope everyone will play. So King, and I'm speaking to the King company and not speaking to me in third person, honestly, you should drop the trademark. If I don't know how you do that. I don't know if you just cancel it or what. And just simply trademark Candy Crush Saga as a whole and any other future title that will have the word Saga in it that you're working on. That'd be the most easiest thing to do. Because I know that you're working on a few other titles that are going to have the word Saga in it. So why not just wait for those games to come out, or why don't just trademark them right away before you even release those titles? Just trademark Candy Crush Saga and all future titles. Don't just trademark Candy and the word Saga separately, because all that's going to do is bring a massive amount of trouble at your doorstep. Up next, we got another band that will be playing at the next Iro Iro show in Chiba. They're called Yuholdo, and it'll be their first time playing at one of these events. Here's a track called Kokoro Note.
See you. 強く目覚めた朝は奥様がおはよう、おでん笑いかけてるみたい。真っ暗世界の中にいつの間にか出てくる、きっと同じ味になったら会える。いつもその胸の中で弾ける想像はそれよりも広い。心の奥底に
Vitality from their Open Mind album. Now, usually this would be the place where I would say something recent about them, but for the life of me, I couldn't find anything about Anti-Element. Hell, you can't even find this album anywhere. I mean, sometimes that happens with bands. They're there 1 minute, and then the next, poof, gone. Guess, just shit happens with them. Oh well. So it's no secret that the Wii U isn't doing so well. Hell, even Nintendo admitted to its slow sales and even knocked it down to 70% for their yearly financial whoosie what's it, whatever you want to call it. It's a great video game system, no doubt, and I don't regret buying it on day one, but the fact remains, it's not holding well against the PS4 or Xbox One. Which is why news of a possibly new console already in the works doesn't quite surprise me. Now let it be known that, as of this recording, these are still rumors, so it could come out as total bullshit before this episode goes up on the site. So let me just make that clear before we continue. So the rumors, according to the website Nintendo News, is that the company is already at work on what is known as a hybrid portable home console called the Fusion. And yes, that was the name of the music toy Nintendo used to have going back, like, I think it was like 2001 or 2006, when the GameCube was around. So this Fusion is supposedly split into two separate hardwares, the Fusion DS and the Fusion Terminal. And both are looking to have some pretty impressive specs. And what's interesting to note is that the DS Fusion seems to have Bluetooth capabilities, suggesting that it would also work with cell phones and tablets. Plus, you know, most importantly, it also has a 3DS card slot, so it'll also be backwards compatible. As for the console itself, the terminal, it appears to be disc-based, so if the two systems are going to be linked, I'm curious to see how it'll be possible to take the disc-based titles on the go, as it does list a 3G companion in the portable. Again, this could all be fake, created by some massive Nintendo fanboy, one that's definitely bigger than I am, and hopes to roil up, you know, some of those Sony and Microsoft trolls in a way. But, you know, if it winds up being true, the question is, when would it hit? You know, my money could be on Nintendo giving the Wii U a 4-year plan, the same one Microsoft gave the first Xbox. So, in reality, we wouldn't really see anything or hear anything until E3 of next year, let alone this year. If it's true, then good news for Nintendo. If not, then no loss, because there's plenty of good titles for the Wii U coming out in the next few months, including the new Donkey Kong Country, new Mario Kart, Bayonetta 2, and most important of all, brand new Smash Bros. So, until we know more about it, let's just put this in the rumor mill and just leave it be. Up next, we've got a rising punk band called Perfect Pussy, who dropped a noisily enjoyable demo EP last April entitled I Have Lost All Desire for Feeling. While the sound can be wicked distorted, the angst and energy is ever so clear. From that EP is the simply titled Two, or is that supposed to be? In any case, just listen and be prepared to want to start smashing shit. I'm gonna go. From their 2010 color release. They'll soon be releasing their best of album, Best Vibration, later next month, which will also feature their entire music video collection in a limited edition pressing. So be sure to pre-order that one to catch a visual demonstration of how far along these girls have evolved. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our teacher, Sawat Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can follow us on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can like us on facebook.com/bostonbassbrigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, in the Issues program. My thanks once again to James Primate for stopping by to chat about Project Rain World. Please go on to Kickstarter and support the project. I have a feeling it's going to be very special when it finally gets released. Now, for those of you in the Chiba area of Japan, be sure to check out the upcoming Iro Iro show at the Lighthouse Anga on January 31st. This time, the lineup will include the Aspheres, Jay and the Cheats, Yuholdo, and Pink Strike. Doors open at 7 p.m. and admission is free with one drink purchase. And thank you to Tom Molesky for sending down those tracks for me to play on this week's show. So we're going to end the show with one of the other bands that are going to be playing at the Iro show. This is the Aspheres with a demo called Sunny Day. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.